Voice of the Cape Drive Time, welcome back to the show. Oh boy, spell check on Android apps is an absolute nightmare. You type in the word warped and you get whopped. You type in the word salams and you get salami. It's absolutely amazing what happens. Donald Trump also knows that because he came up with the word kofifi. But on another matter, the South African government has thrown its support behind the Venezuelan government of Nicolas Maduro, who has followed in the trail of Hugo Chavez. According to the International Relations Minister Lindiwe Sisulu, South Africa's position is to support the democratically elected leadership. But the Free Market Foundation says this support tramples on the Constitution. Online is legal researcher at the MFF, Martin van Staden. Martin, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, I'm trying to understand this one. How does South African government's support for another government, irrespective of whether that government's acting constitutionally or not, trample on our constitution?
Well, it's quite simple, actually. So there are certain founding values that underlie our constitutional fabric, and these are, for example, the advancement of human rights and freedoms, supremacy of the constitution and the rule of law, human dignity, non-racialism, non-sexism, and so forth, and so forth. And these things, according to former judge president of the Constitutional Court, Arthur Schaaf-Skoosen, these things underlie everything government does. So this is a principle of constitutionalism that basically says the government can never act outside of the framework set by the Constitution. And that includes all of the values and principles that do underline that Constitution. And in the case of our government throwing its weight behind when there's a choice, of two. Remember, it's Nicolas Maduro who presides over a regime of tyranny, oppression, and death and destruction. And then there is the democratically elected opposition leader who is also now claiming to be the rightful president of Venezuela. And for better or worse, that opposition leader represents the values more or less that South Africa is founded upon. And we have chosen to side with the obviously wrong side as far as our constitution is concerned.
Okay, we've cleared up that point. But the situation in Venezuela is pockmarked with questions, isn't it? We actually spoke to an activist from Venezuela who can no longer live in the country. And yeah, the picture he painted is of hardship that makes Zimbabwe look like a picnic. Venezuela's inflation, a million going up to 10 million times. The average Venezuelan citizen has lost 11 kilograms. They call it the Maduro effect, and so it goes on and on and on. So what would you say would be a consistent position for South Africa to take? Because South Africa also did not want to discuss Venezuela at the United Nations Security Council. Four countries, South Africa one of them, saying, no, we don't want to discuss the problem.
Yeah, that is completely unacceptable. South Africa, for at least the years after we became a democracy, was seen as basically a poster boy for in the international arena for peaceful transitions, for negotiations, for basically championing peace and cooperation and so forth. So South Africa's refusal to even talk about it is completely unconstitutional, arguably, but definitely immoral, I would say, that we would take such a position. I mean, people in Venezuela are starving. Since 2015 alone, 1.5 million people have been forced to flee that country, and it's estimated that at some stage in the next few years, around 15% of Venezuelan people will be outside Venezuela, and they won't really have any desire to return. So it's a humanitarian crisis of somewhat unprecedented proportions, and our refusal to engage with it is really, to say the least, shocking. That we are on the Security Council, and the mandate of that entity is to maintain international peace and security, and the situation in Venezuela is a clear threat to at least regional peace and security with that government enacting a vile treatment of its own citizens.
Yeah, in fact, according to Venezuelan people we've spoken, 3 million Venezuelans have actually left the country, more than 10% of the population. The other big question, and this clouds it, is foreign interference. Okay, we can understand distant countries making a stand on Venezuela. But when the big daddy of the United States steps in, particularly the orange man, it creates something of a credibility crisis. So how do we get around that one? A lot of people are saying the only thing the U.S. wants out of Venezuela is oil, although people forget it's very low-grade oil and the most expensive oil in the world to actually process. People forget that. But nevertheless, how do we get our heads around it?
Well, let's start off this somewhat simpler answer, and that is that it's not only the U.S. Basically, all of Venezuela's neighbors, with the exception of Mexico and Bolivia, have recognized the opposition leader, Juan Guaido, as the rightful leader. So the president of Brazil and all of Colombia and so forth, Ecuador, have all said that the Nicolas Maduro regime is illegitimate. And whether there will be some kind of foreign intervention to do something about that, that's an open question. As far as the U.S. is concerned, I think people should direct their attention more on the developing humanitarian crisis in Venezuela. And, of course, if the U.S. does anything to make that worse, to exacerbate that, that should be condemned in the strongest possible terms. But we are not there yet. At this stage, it's still a very local Venezuelan matter, where the people of Venezuela are standing up quite militantly, and I think rightfully so, to Maduro and his regime. And I think the international community should at least, and they have done that, the European Union has recently recognized the opposition, show their solidarity with the people of Venezuela, and if that must lead to some further intervention, that would be another discussion. But to take the corner of Nicolas Maduro at this stage, for the South African government, the government of Nelson Mandela, the government of this venerated constitution, that is completely unacceptable, especially considering that no South African was asked where they stand on the matter.
Well, you know, if we talk about Venezuela, we can also talk about Burma stroke Myanmar, where South Africa again took an absolutely disastrous vote on Myanmar as well, incensing the rest of the world that saw Myanmar as a human rights disaster.
Well, yes. So I can't really speak to that specific example, but South Africa has, in other circumstances, also shown contempt in foreign policy for the values that we are supposed to be representing. And the three that I can think of, maybe the most recent one, is it's the giving of the diplomatic immunity to Grace Mugabe after she assaulted a South African citizen, and considering the fact that she is not and was not a diplomat, and she was certainly not on official business in South Africa, that was a political action. And then, of course, the infamous case of Omar al-Bashir, who the government facilitated leaving South Africa while the government was under an international criminal court obligation to place him under arrest and extradite him to the ICC. And a third example that is from the late 1990s is that South Africa, of course, always had recognized the Republic of China, i.e. Taiwan, as the legitimate government of China, and then promptly withdrew its support when the ideological allies of China gained government in South Africa and then recognized the People's Republic of China, that being Communist China, the repressive state. So there is unfortunately a strong history of our government saying, maybe domestically we'll listen to the Constitution, it's fine, but when it comes to our foreign relations, we are going to side with our ideological friends, and the values of the Constitution will not restrain us, unfortunately.
And some people would call that double standards. But Martin van Staden, researcher for the Free Market Foundation, thanks for chatting to us.
Thank you very much.